if you would please, and we are going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Would you say that with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have come in our study of the Lord's Prayer to the third statement in verse 11. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, you'll find it there. Matthew chapter 6. And this morning we'll be looking at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. This may be the most familiar part of the Lord's Prayer to many people. Now, in order to understand this statement, there are some issues that we need to clarify, and I have listed four of them on your outline for you. We need to look at the purpose of this statement. We need to look at the explanation of bread. What does that mean? We need to look at the meaning of the word daily. And we need to look at the background of the prayer. So let's begin with the first of these issues, the purpose of the prayer. When we pray for our daily bread, the food that we need that sustains us day by day, it is really symbolic of all of our needs. We're not just asking God for food. You know, scientists even tell us that until we have our most basic needs met, that we will not be happy, and in fact, we cannot survive. Maslow's pyramid puts food, water, clothing, even health as our most basic needs. If you have ever been to a third world country, you might have asked yourself questions like, why don't these people have orchestras? Why don't these people have national parks? Listen, when you can't put food on the table, who's concerned about having a national park? And so your most basic needs have to be met before you work your way up the pyramid to things like security and relationships and accomplishments, and before those things actually matter in our lives. I have, in my trips to Haiti, had the opportunity, along with some missionaries and some Haitian pastors, to explore. And I remember the time that my friend Johannes said, "Hey, Steve, you know, about 5 miles from here, there are some old French ruins. Let's go up there and look at them." So we went up there, and what was left of it, of what would have been apparently a beautiful house and grounds. I mean, there was in the ground still, about as wide as our church island, almost as long, a fountain. Now, it didn't work, and rainwater had collected in it, but I could just sit there and imagine this fountain flowing up in the days back in the 1700s, and how beautiful this would have been. On our way home, he said, "There's a hill over here." He said, "Let's climb to the top of it and see what's up there." So we tramped through the brush, and we stepped on things to make our way to the top. When we got to the top, we found there was a road on the other side. But we didn't know that. And we got to the top, and there was a plaque, and it said this was the villa where the final plans were drawn for the freedom of the slaves in 1804 when Haiti won their independence. Just a small plaque. If that had been in America, we would have had a big plaque. We would have had people selling hot dogs up there. We would have had all kinds of things and charged people to go see it. And yet almost no one in the area knows what's up there. You see, until you can get your basic needs met, you don't worry about things like that. You can live even if the things in levels 2, 3, 4, and 5 are not there or are deficient. But you cannot live if number 1 isn't there. You cannot exist. When Jesus tells us to pray for our daily bread, he is encouraging us to come to him for the most basic necessities of life, our food, but far more than that. So the purpose of the prayer goes beyond food. Now, the second thing that we need to look at is the explanation of bread. There is some discussion as to the meaning of bread. What is Jesus really talking about? Now, there are two ways that you can understand the word bread. You can understand it as physical bread, and that's how most of us probably understand it. Or you can understand it as spiritual bread, which goes back to Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Now, most Bible scholars that I have been able to consult understand that when Jesus tells us to pray for daily bread, he's literally talking about the food that we eat as opposed to spiritual bread. And in fact, the context lends itself that way. If you continue down to verse 25, Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Those were the basic things in Maslow's pyramid. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Here Jesus is actually talking about literal food and clothes. And he tells us, hey, don't worry about those things. That is, he's not saying don't be concerned. He's saying don't be obsessed with these things. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray for God to provide for you. It simply means we need to keep our priorities in line. Now, what are our priorities? We'll look over at verse 33. Same context. Verse 33, but seek first, in order of priority, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus is not saying anywhere in Matthew chapter 6 that food and clothing are not important. Obviously, they are important. What he's teaching is that there is something far more important in comparison than food and clothing. There is something for us in this life that far exceeds those things, and that is the kingdom of God. Keep your priorities in line, but pray that God will provide. Keep your priorities in line, but pray that God will provide. You see, it would be very unusual for Jesus in verse 11, which is our text today, it would be very unusual for him to talk about spiritual bread there, and then following in the same context, in the same breath, begin to talk about physical food without something in the text indicating he's changed the way he's using that word. So Jesus is teaching us to pray for what we need on a daily basis to survive. That brings us to the word daily. The prayer is, give us our daily bread. It's an interesting word. It is only used in all of the New Testament in the context of the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew, and then again where it's repeated over in the Gospel of Luke. And it can be understood in two different ways. It can be understood as, give us the bread that we need today. And then tomorrow we ask again, God, give us the bread we need today. And that's the way many translators understand it. It's how many of us as Christians have understood it. Give us today what I need to get through today. There is a present and an immediate aspect to that idea. Perhaps the biggest problem for understanding it that way is that the Greek language has a word for daily. It has a word that was much more common, a word that is used all through the New Testament, that would have worked much better here if that is what Jesus meant. So the second way to understand this is, give us the bread that we will need each day. In this case, it would be translated, give us day by day our bread. There's not only a present aspect to the prayer, but there's a future aspect to the prayer. We're trusting God not only to provide today, but we're expressing our trust that He will continue to provide. He'll provide tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And so, grammatically, the second option seems to be the best option. But let me say this, no matter which option you choose, are you supposed to pray just for today? Are you supposed to pray for day after day after day? No matter which option you choose, the final result is the same. You're placing your faith in God. You're asking Him to provide for you. Well, the fourth thing that I want to share is the background of the prayer. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, what do you think popped into their minds immediately? Well, what probably popped into their minds, because they knew their Old Testament, they would think back in their history to a time when God provided daily bread for the Israelites as they were wandering in the wilderness. You can read that story back in Exodus chapter 16. You remember, we won't turn to it, but the people came to Moses and they were complaining to Moses that he had led them into the wilderness to kill them with hunger. Talk about being overdramatic. Let me just read to you what it says in Exodus 16 in verse 3, because it records their complaint. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. God's response to their complaint was, I will rain bread from heaven. Of course, He was referring to what we call manna. R.C. Sproul, a brilliant theologian, wrote these words, life in the wilderness was hard, and soon the people began to complain that it would be better to be back in Egypt where they had wonderful food to eat. In response to these complaints, God promised to rain bread from heaven. The next morning, when the dew lifted, there remained behind on the ground a small round substance as fine as frost. It was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. When God miraculously fed His people from heaven, He did it by giving them bread. We still use the idea of bread like that. We in the past, we would talk about the breadwinner. It used to be the breadwinner was the husband. Now it takes the husband and the wife working full time to pay the bills. We talk about bringing home the bread or the money. We associate bread with life, and the Israelites did the same thing. God gave them bread in the wilderness. He gave them life. And Jesus taught His disciples to pray for bread, or to pray that God would give them life. Now, with all of that as sort of a background, here's the main thing we want to focus on this morning. What was Jesus trying to teach His disciples? And what is Jesus trying to teach us this morning? And so we need to look, secondly, at the implications. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, these are more than just words to repeat. When we pray for God to give us our bread day by day, each day, we are admitting our dependency on Him. Did you pick that up in Jennifer's prayer this morning? She said, God, we are dependent people. Do you know what that means? Do you really believe that you are dependent? You see, we need God. Without God, life would not be livable. We were created as dependent people. Not just Christians. Everyone, every human is dependent upon God. What would have happened if the sun had not come our way this morning? Now, some of you came in and you remember about 2 days ago that it was 72, 73, 74 degrees. And you said, oh, it's so cold out this morning. The clouds are there. What happened to our warm weather? What you should have really been asking is, why do we have such a warm day in the middle of March? That's April, May weather for us in Pennsylvania. However, everyone is dependent upon God. They're dependent upon God for the rain. We're dependent upon God to bring up the crops. Everyone is dependent. Listen, independence is the definition of sin. Independence is the definition of sin. Because independence means that we are living life independent of God. And when we begin to live independent of God, we begin to live our own way rather than God's way. We are dependent upon God for life. We are dependent upon God for His blessings. We are dependent upon God for His Word, which gives us guidance. We are dependent upon God for His provision. We are dependent upon God for eternity. Paul Tripp, who is a rather popular pastor and writer, wrote this. Dependency is not a sign of weakness. Rather, it is a universal indicator of our humanity. Humans are dependent beings, yet we don't like to be dependent. It is the legacy of our fallenness to do everything we can to repudiate the doctrine of human dependency. He goes on to say, so all fallen beings tend to buy into two attractive but dangerous lies. These are the lies that were on the tongue of the serpent on that fateful day of manipulation and disobedience in the garden. The first lie is the lie of autonomy, which tells me that I am an independent being with the right to invest my life however I choose. How many of you bought into that lie? I am an independent being who can do anything with my life that I choose to do. The lie of autonomy. He says the second lie is the lie of self-sufficiency, which declares that I have everything I need within myself to be what I am supposed to be and do what I am supposed to do. Because we don't want to live for God, but for ourselves, we are easily seduced by these lies. The lie of autonomy, the lie of self-sufficiency, because we think we are independent from God. So when we ask God to give us what we need day by day, we are expressing our dependency on Him. Again, R.C. Sproul says, this petition of the Lord's Prayer then teaches us to come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking Him to provide what we need and to sustain us from day to day. So when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you are saying, God, I am totally, absolutely dependent upon You for everything. I'm dependent upon You for my life. Now, the second thing that we are expressing in those words is we are rejecting worry and anxiety. Now, I know none of you struggle with worry or anxiety? The fact is, we all do. Some more than others, but we all do. Listen, I want to tell you a true story that came out of the Korean conflict. The writer who wrote this received this from a nurse who served in Korea after the conflict. After the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a large number of children who had been orphaned by the war. And in fact, just as a side note here, there are several Christian organizations in the United States that are in existence today because of this. They went to Korea. Compassion International, I believe, is one of them. They went to Korea to work with orphans. There were literally hundreds of thousands. The writer says, relief agencies came in to deal with all the problems that arose in connection with having so many orphan children. One of the problems they encountered was with the children who were in the orphanages was that even though the children were given three meals a day, they were restless and anxious at night and had difficulty sleeping. These are just little kids. As they talked to the children, they soon discovered that the children had great anxiety about whether they would have food the next day. Even though they had three meals today, they had three meals yesterday, they had three meals every day since they come into the orphanage, they were anxious about the next day. Give us our bread day by day, day after day. To help resolve this problem, and I thought this was ingenious, to help resolve this problem, the relief workers in one orphanage decided that each night when the children were put to bed, the nurses would place a single piece of bread in each child's hand. This bread was not intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the child as they went to sleep. It was a security blanket for them, reminding them that there would be provision for their daily needs. That's exactly what God wants from us. Sure enough, the bread calmed the children's anxieties and helped them sleep. Why were the children not able to sleep? They were not able to sleep because they were worried. They were anxious. What helped them overcome their worry and their anxiety? It was the assurance that they would have bread tomorrow. Christians are like everyone else. We worry. We worry about tomorrow. We get anxious. Will we have enough money to pay our bills? Will I still have a job tomorrow? What happens if my car breaks down? Is there enough money in the bank account to pay for it? Do I have enough money to send my children to college when they reach that age? Do I have enough money set aside for retirement? Do I have enough just to live on? How will I make it tomorrow? What is different for the Christian than for everyone else is that we have God. A God who has told us that we can come to Him and we can pray, Lord, give us what we need day after day after day. And in that prayer, we reject worry and anxiety. Some people just worry all day long. Some people just worry when they wake up at night. But whether you're a night worrier or a day worrier, can I encourage you, when you find yourself worrying, to pray, give us this day the bread that we need day after day after day. And God, I'm going to trust you for that bread. And that's our next point. As we pray, give us this bread, this day our daily bread, we are displaying complete trust. Trust is not asking for what you want in life. Trust is asking for what God knows you need in life. We are trusting Him to give us what He knows that we need. You see, sometimes we don't even know what we need. many times we do know. And when we know, we can ask God to provide it for us according to His will. We can ask with complete trust that if it is truly a need and not something we just want, and if it's according to His perfect plan, He will provide it for us. One writer said, "We are not given license to ask for great riches, but we are encouraged to make our needs known to Him, trusting that He will provide." I have to confess to you that when I go to Haiti and I see people living in extreme poverty, I have a hard time coming back and praying and asking God for anything. Going back to the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, when God provided manna for them, do you remember what He told them? He said, "Only gather enough for today." In fact, He gave them a specific amount. I don't know if you know this. He said, "You can gather one omer per person in your family." Now, we're not exactly sure what an omer was. It's a unit of measurement. Scholars think it was slightly less than 2 quarts, and they were to gather that much and no more. Why do you think God told them to gather just a certain amount? Did you ever wonder about that? Why God? Why 2 omers? Why not 3? Why not 4? Wouldn't it have been better? And I would have made a poor Israelite. This is what I would have done. It would have been better if they gathered as much as they could and put some away for a rainy day. After all, who knew if the manna was coming tomorrow? That makes sense. Makes sense to me. I mean, they might go out one morning, no manna laying on the ground. If that happened, they would have a reserve back in the tent. They could go to their little pantry and they could pull it out and feed their family. But you remember what happened if one family gathered enough for today and enough for tomorrow as well, except on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, any other day of the week? The text says it would rot overnight. And instead it would have a terrible smell. Can you imagine? You gathered enough for today and tomorrow, and you woke up the next morning, and what is that smell? You forgot to change the baby's diaper. Woo! It was the manna. It had rotted overnight. God limited the Israelites to a specific amount of bread, enough for them for that day, but not enough to save for later. And He did that to teach them a valuable lesson. You know what the lesson was? To trust Him for tomorrow. God wants us to trust Him not only for today's needs, but there's a future aspect to our prayer, because He wants us to trust Him for tomorrow's needs as well. One of my favorite Bible verses, and I'm sure it's a favorite of a number of you here today, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. We're to trust in God, not in our own understanding. Why? Because oftentimes our own understanding is faulty, but His isn't. And if we will acknowledge Him in life, He is going to direct us. Now, God gave the Israelites just enough for one day at a time. He forced them to trust Him. Now, the danger for them was that they might lean on their own understanding and take more than they should. God has blessed us by not only giving us what we need for today, in reality, He's given us much more. Just here in the auditorium, if you're brave enough, how many of you have enough food in your house for today? Anybody? How many of you have enough food in your house for the week? How many of you have enough food in your house for maybe a month? I thought so. Most of us can open our refrigerators, we can open our pantries, we can open our cupboards, and we can see enough food in there to feed our family for a week, for a month, maybe even longer. Now, I have to tell you, there was a time when Mary and I could not have raised our hands for that. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, and when you get to be my age after all these years, things get a little fuzzy upstairs, but when Mary was expecting our first child, who is in her 40s now, she had to have some bed rest. Am I on track so far? Yeah, okay. I got permission over here. I'm the story's correct so far. And so I had to make supper. And I'd come home from school or from work. Most of the time I'd come home from school, I'd make supper, and I'd leave and go to work. And we had some really interesting meals. Because I would open the refrigerator, and there was nothing there. And we had a little pantry on the side. And I remember one time going in there, and the only thing we had were beans. I mean, like, you know, what kind of those beans? Kidney beans, yeah. And we had a choice, light kidney beans or dark kidney beans. That was going to be supper. I remember making one supper. It was so bad that a pregnant woman in bed could not eat it, and we gave it to a dog who did not eat it. But most of us have never seen that. And thankfully for us, it was only a couple of years. God has blessed us by giving us so much more than we need for today. But because of that, like the Israelites, we face a danger. Our danger is different. In fact, I think the danger that we face is greater than the danger of the Israelites. We face the danger of never having to trust God for our daily needs. You just testified to that a moment ago, at least if I change the word never to a long time. Many of you testify by the raise of your hands that you don't have to trust God for the next month for your daily needs. And the danger is we will stop trusting. We have so much that we don't have to trust God day by day. We don't have to pray, give us day after day the bread that we need, because we have so much. What we don't like to think about is that if it pleased God, it could all be gone in a moment of time. That God could remove what you have in an instant. And so in faith, in complete trust in Him, we continue to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It is a call to action. Depend on God. Reject worry and anxiety. Completely trust Him. That's what God is asking of you when He said, pray this way. Give us day after day the bread that we need. Father, we pray today that even though You have blessed us tremendously, we would still recognize our dependence upon You. And we would reject worrying and anxiety about the future, thinking that You cannot provide for us. But we will completely trust You, no matter how much or how little we have. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.